Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot.
And today, I'm delighted to be joined by Ron Chiarello. He is the CEO and founder of Alveo Technologies. Ron, thanks for joining me today.
A pleasure to be here, Dr. Nick. Thank you.
So, as I do always with my guests, I think it's really important to get the background. You have an interesting background. Tell us a little bit about your journey to this point as the founder and CEO of Alveo.
Yes. So I come to the opportunity of at-home diagnostic testing from a bit different perspective and a different angle. First of all, I'm a PhD physicist, and I had a long academic career at Argonne National Laboratory and Stanford University before becoming an entrepreneur. So really, in our company and in our product platform, we've taken quite, I think, a novel approach. And we are a technology company. I am a technologist that's now playing and trying to help people in the biotech space.
So I've got to ask, because those people that know me know that I'm a bit of a physics buff and that whole space. Tell us just a little bit about the work that you did before you got into this space.
Yeah, so it was really a great career. I actually worked on a lot of fun projects. Probably the biggest thing I did is I worked at the Advanced Photon Source in the suburbs of Chicago, and we built a quarter mile diameter X-ray storage ring that we used for all kinds of experiments. Maybe the one that's sort of most interesting in a way was I worked with a low temperature aqueous geochemist, and we were studying environmental issues up at Hanford Air Force Base. Years ago, the U.S. government, military, operations had buried munitions waste up there close to the Columbia River. And those containers started leaking. And so there was a big effort to figure out, hey, how did this material leaking from these containers interact with the soil? Did it potentially have an opportunity to contaminate the Columbia River? So we used high-intensity X-rays to actually study the interaction of this waste material with the soil that is, around the Columbia River up there. And I think we did really good work and won several awards. And maybe that was the most exciting and impactful thing that we did.
That's really cool. I always love these sort of origin stories, because what I find almost always is that there's some thread of that that plays through into future activities. So tell us a little bit about the journey into Alveo. What was the story there, and how did you end up getting into this organization and creating the company?
Well, okay. So it started when I was a young boy watching the original Star Trek television series. And I, okay. And thank you for that. And I saw, the medical tricorder, and I'm thinking, wow, that's really cool. Except that it's on some exotic faraway planet. And it's, being used, by bones. And so, I remember thinking literally as a young person, we need that on Earth and everyone should have one. And so that really was sort of an inspiration for me, all the technology in these kind of early shows. And then, of course, I ended up, sort of making a detour, if you will, in becoming a physicist. But really, it's about for me and for what we're doing at Alveo, it's about bringing technology to applications in healthcare for individuals, the democratization of medical technology, if you will. For example, I have a relatively new car. My car has over 200 sensors. I know everything about my car. Brake pad levels, fluid levels, if there's an object nearby, proximity sensors. But when I go into my medicine cabinet in my bathroom, I have two sensors, right? I have a thermometer and a scale. And so really what we're doing is we want to bring, as a group of technologists at Alveo, we want to bring technology closer to people and have it accessible and low cost and easy to use for as many people as possible.
I just love that you have a Star Trek origin story, because I'm definitely a Trekkie. Love that whole sort of, you know, the potential that sort of inspired me, as did the space program that was, you know, the closest thing to that. And, you know, now we're seeing the sort of expansion of this. So live long and prosper is all I can say. Thank you. I'm just very excited about that. So Alveo actually won the X Prize. I think it's important for people to understand that's a pretty big deal. Not just from a financial standpoint, but actually getting to that. It was originally, the X Prize was the space program innovation to get a spaceship up and down. Mm-hmm. We saw that, but they've expanded it. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thank you. It's super exciting for me and for our entire team to be named an X Prize grand prize winner for rapid COVID testing. I will tell you, it is earned. It is merit-based. We did hundreds and hundreds of tests that were performed by independent laboratories. There was, you know, a set of judges that are luminaries in the field. The genesis for the X Prize was really, you know, Jeff Huber is connected to a great company, Illumina, a great testing company in its own right. So really winning the X Prize is another validation point for our innovation and our out-of-the-box thinking, if you will, on rapid testing for at home for consumers. And again, yes, there is a cash award that goes with it. That's really a big boost. But there are other elements too. You know, the X Prize is helping us with everything from regulatory approvals to contacts and relationships for more capital investment into the company. So it really has a far reach for us. And we're just, you know, pleased beyond belief to be named a winner.
Well, I just have to say congratulations. I feel like X Prize is maybe Shark Tank for geeks in some respects.
Yeah,
it offers, you know, both the sort of geekiness that, you know, surrounds it, plus all of those connections that you describe. You know, tremendous program, and we've seen lots of successes out of it, and clearly you're one of them. So tell us a little bit about the journey for the solution that you developed and some of the background to that, because it's not easy. You know, people look at this and say, oh, well, we've got, you know, we have COVID testing. Well, that's actually a pretty big hill to climb, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, our test is like, you know, other companies and, you know, and universities and so forth that have been developing an RNA-based test. So we really wanted to be able to have a true fingerprint for a given infectious disease. So we really started not with COVID, of course, you know, 7 years ago when, you know, we first came up with the idea of an at-home RNA-based test for infectious disease. We started with respiratory syncytial virus, which is not sort of as well known as it should be. It goes by RSV. But this disease, which is an acute respiratory virus, similar to the flu and similar to COVID-19, it is the number one killer of children under age 5 worldwide. So we really started with an at-home test for that disease. And the reason is because, like flu and like COVID-19, RSV needs to be diagnosed basically within 48 hours of either initial symptoms or onset of the disease in order for treatments to be effective, be those treatments be an antiviral or be they, you know, self-quarantine. And if you don't, as we've seen with COVID, the disease can extend to pretty significant, you know, hospitalization, of course, you know, death. And in the case of young people, they can get pneumonia, bronchitis, croup. And while there, you know, is in the U.S. particular and European Union, high survival rates, if you have a severe case of RSV when you're young, let's just say you're not going to become an Olympic swimmer, right? You're going to be, your body will have to adjust to, you know, the impact of that disease on you. So it's a very serious disease, these things like flu, like RSV, and of course, you know, COVID. So we started there and have extended to build the platform to multiplex all of these diseases for at-home use so that they can all be diagnosed in the comfort of your home, going back to fast diagnosis for rapid treatment in the safety and comfort of your home.
So Just a quick point. I'll tell you why we call it RSV. That's because we struggle with the same pronunciation.
Thank you.
So this is one instance where that abbreviation absolutely works for us. So I think, you know, many folks are at least partially familiar with the process for testing. You're looking for elements of these markers, in this case for that particular virus. We hear a lot about PCR, amplification, the need for laboratories and, cycle times, all of those things. Can you explain simply how a test like this that you're describing works in, you know, a home setting, doesn't require a laboratory? What's going on? What have you managed to do?
Yes, that's a great question. And so, again, as a physicist, I think of viruses and bacteria as pretty simple systems, really. And end of the day, viruses are not so bad to measure. I mean, they're kind of convenient in a lot of ways. And here's why. The basic construct of the virus is it's, let's say, RNA, and let's use SARS-CoV-2 as an example. Its RNA is encapsulated by a protective sheath of proteins. Think of it maybe as a banana peel. So the first job is you got to get a sample of that virus. Okay, so very common for COVID is to get a nasal sample. So you swab, and you like using a swab because it controls the amount of sample. It's relatively clean. So you a shallow nasal swab. Now you have essentially mucus with a whole bunch of virus in it if that person happens to be positive. So what we do is we take the swab and put it into a disposable cartridge. From there, the first job is to break open that capsid, that banana peel, and expose the RNA. Okay, so we do that with a little bit of chemistry and a little bit of heat inside this cartridge. Okay, so that's job one. Great. Now we have a bunch of RNA floating around. But typically, it's not enough to measure. So then you have to do the amplification piece or the copying piece of that RNA. You want, and this is sort of almost the miracle of life. It's a phenomenal achievement that you can do this inside these tiny cartridges. You replicate that original RNA. You copy it many, many times. And that's actually what you're measuring. If there's an original amount of RNA that you can copy, you see a signal from those copies, all those, you know, millions of copies of RNA that you're fabricating, if you will. If there is no original RNA, then you won't have any copies and you won't have any signal. No signal, you're negative. Signal, you're positive. So literally, it's that simple. If that sounds simple to you.
No, I think that's great. And, the wonders of modern science. For those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Today, I'm talking to Ron Chiarello. He is the CEO and founder of Alveo Technologies. We were just talking about the technology that they've managed to put into a home-based device. For context, what's the size? What does this look like?
So our product has three main components. It has an analyzer, which is about the size of an iPhone 10. It has a disposable cartridge, which is the size of a credit card, and then a swab, which is about, you know, it's like a Q-tip, but a little bit more sophisticated than a Q-tip. And then we have a real-time healthcare data application program that can run any mobile device. So the kit is really simple. When eventually it's approved and you get it at home, you'll open a box, you'll have these three parts: the analyzer, which is reusable many, many times, the cartridge, which you use once and then throw away in regular trash, and the same with the swab, use it once and then throw away in the regular trash. And all of your results and your interface to the telemedicine, telehealth ecosystem is through your phone. So your results go from the analyzer to your phone, and then as a user, you have an option. Do I want to share them with a physician? Do I want to share them with the CDC and be part of disease surveillance and disease tracking? Very important in this piece, not only is the diagnosis to get that correct important, but to protect the information of the user is very, very important, that cybersecurity component. So we've incorporated all of this in our BeWell platform.
So how is this helping to expand access? I know this is one of your areas of passion. It's the sort of approach of, you know, democratization of access. What is it about this that's changing, the accessibility for everybody?
It's really self-empowerment. And, you know, there's a lot of, especially, you know, and you and I both share, you know, our ideas, which are very similar about the media. There's a lot of fear around this disease. And so that's okay, because it raises awareness and it activates people to take action. But really, there's a comfort part around knowing your disease state. So having the accessibility to knowing your own health when you want to know it. I don't have to go to a doctor's office, no offense, Dr. Nick, or to a hospital or to a clinic. I can do it anywhere I want on demand. I'm going to go visit a loved one in an extended living facility. I can test myself before I go. I want to go to a sporting event or a concert or a wedding. I can test myself immediately before I go and know my disease state. And that's the self-empowerment piece that we want to unlock and unleash through the accessibility and usability of the test.
I think that's really important when you think about the sort of personal choices that we have to make. It was only just recently that we finally saw the release of testing capability without a doctor's order. That was previously a requirement. In this case, you know, why should you need it? As I think about this, you know, it reminds me a lot of the image that I've tried to project on others. You know, the perfect example of testing would be Nick walking around with a little bubble over his head saying, clear, clear, clear. Oh, yeah. Infected. All the time, you know, constant, which, you know, would be very expensive. You know, we're not getting to that. This seems like it's the closest thing. Obviously not public, so it sounds like you've really addressed the privacy issue so that Nick's bubble only appears when he wants it to appear, and you can be confident that it's valid based on this date and time of testing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Exactly. And that has been very important to me and to the mission for the company that, and again, you know, I don't necessarily mind going to see my physician or going to the hospital. However, you know, it's a good place to get sicker, hospital-acquired infections. We use the use case going back to RSV, you know, when your baby or your child is sick, the last thing you want to do is put them in the car seat and take them to urgent care. You know, you'd love to know at home what the disease state is. Again, that empowerment and safety for the entire family. And you don't want other people to know what your disease state is. That's for you. That's personal information that I feel very important that individuals need to hang on to, whether it's, frankly, let's extend this beyond COVID, a urinary tract infection, a sexually transmitted infection, right? All of these diseases, infectious diseases, I think really the privacy and the personality of, I know, and I get to choose, do I share that and with who? Someone who can help me. You know, think about it, in the mental health world, you don't really tell everybody, I have depression, I have anxiety. You have a mental health professional that you share that information with. That's your choice. We want to do the same thing for infectious disease.
So as that sort of takes place in your process and you talk about this with other diseases, it sounds like this is a platform for other disease detection. Is that true?
Absolutely. And we are working on developing the test for the two I mentioned, for UTIs and STIs. This is not a test for all infectious diseases, but the ones I'm listing, you know, are really compatible with our platform. I'll give you an example of one that I would love to tackle, but it's really difficult, is Lyme's disease. Mm. It's a difficult one to diagnose. It's a bacterial infection. You know, an individual may have to have diagnosed over 20 individual bacteria to really be certain they're positive for Lyme disease. So that's a tougher problem to solve that we would love to figure out at some point. But the others I mentioned, you know, chlamydia, gonorrhea, you know, herpes, and of course the bacteria that cause UTIs. Those are all in our wheelhouse, and we want to develop tests for all of those.
Wow, that's really exciting. So little bit of time left. Tell us where you are. I know you're going through the process of approvals. You've got some approvals. What's the current state of affairs? And is this in use somewhere?
Yes. So the current state of affairs is we're going through the FDA regulatory process to have our at-home COVID test approved. And, it's rigorous and has a lot of work, but we're in process. And that's really our main objective in front of us right now. We will quickly extend this to a multiplex version of our product that will include COVID, influenza, and RSV in a single test. So really, that's what's in front of us right now. And going through FDA is extremely important to access, again, the most people, because we, obviously we're a commercial company and we have investors and their support and guidance has been amazing and great for us. But also part of our mission is, of course, to help relieve suffering, right? That's what the healthcare companies do. And that's part of what we do at Alveo. And so we're anxious and excited to get our product in the market to do just that.
Fantastic. So in the remaining time, can you tell us a little bit about where you see this going and what the opportunities are and how this is going to address some of the discrepancies in the world that we're seeing that I think we're going to be continued to be challenged, right?
Oh, absolutely. As you know, we have 30% for COVID, for example, we have 30% of the U.S. population now completely vaccinated, but only 3% of the world population completely vaccinated. So what that means is that's an issue, because that 97% of non-vaccinated people is an opportunity for the disease to develop variants that could be potentially problematic to future vaccines and antivirals and also to testing. So what is COVID sort of, I believe everything in life is an opportunity to learn and everyone's a teacher. So what did COVID teach us is that, first of all, we do need a global platform for testing and, of course, for therapies like vaccines. We absolutely need that because, as there are many people attributed to this quote, but a disease anywhere is a disease everywhere. If it's in Brazil, it will end up in Minnesota. If it's in India, it will end up in Arkansas. It's guaranteed pretty much, okay? So that's something that we really need. And bringing testing at home, which this pandemic has essentially broken the seal on and accelerated that adoption by consumers and that investment by investors in the growth of companies like Alveo, like my company, that's what you're gonna see happening moving forward. And again, as you know, there have been 3 coronavirus outbreaks of disease that have significantly impacted humans in the past 18 years, SARS, MERS, and now COVID-19. The expectation there will be another one in the next six years, well, highly probable.
I can't disagree with you, but I'm going to try and pitch that on a slight uptick and say, that's true, but because of companies like yourself and all of the work that's gone in, this time round, we're going to be prepared, and not just prepared in the United States and some small other countries, but worldwide as a result of the accessibility in the home setting. So I agree with you. We can't sort of discount this. And I hope we can maintain the attention as a society and as a world, as opposed to, okay, we fixed that. Right, let's move on and do all these other things. So 100% agree. Unfortunately, as usual, we've run out of time. So just remains for me to thank you for joining me. I think fascinating, tremendous product. Congratulations on the X Prize. And good luck with the FDA. I think it's extremely important we get this through and get it out.
Thank you for all of that. This has been an absolute pleasure. The best podcast I've ever done. Sorry, everybody else. This has been great. Thank you, Dr. Nick. Thank you.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, TheIncrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.